I'm Caitlin Taylor, and welcome to The Style Project, a podcast about body love, self-esteem, and personal style. As a style coach and everyday personal stylist, I work with women to help them love the skin they're in and celebrate it through their own personal style. In this podcast, I'll chat to a series of women I know and admire about their journey with their own style, their experiences with body image and self-esteem, and look at ways we, as a society and as individuals, can change the way we think about ourselves for the better. So without further ado, let's get chatting. Danica Revel is a powerhouse mama of two little boys, co-founder of the charity The Period Place. Oh, and she also happens to be one of my best friends in the whole world. I couldn't think of a better person to kick off the Style Project with, so here she is. Hi, Danny. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yay. So let's start by telling our lovely listeners a little bit about you, what you do, how we know each other, etc.
Okay, so I met you through the Twitterverse about 6-7 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Somebody introduced us as two Aussies who were over here dating some Kiwi boys and thought that maybe we'd have a couple of things in common, and we ended up being neighbours and having babies at the same times and becoming friends and godparents, and the rest is history. And we kept the boys as well.
So we know each other pretty well.
Pretty well. And me, I am kind of a stay-at-home mum. I have two kids, one just turned two, one's 4 months, two little boys, and I also run a charity called The Period Place, where we fight period stigma, provide period education, and are working to eradicate period poverty in Aotearoa.
So new mom and working with women.
Yes.
I feel like you're a really good person to talk to.
I think so.
So what I want you to do to start with, and I do this with all my personal styling clients and I do it with a lot of readers, I want you to start off by telling me, what are three words that you would use to describe your personal style?
My personal style, I would say androgynous. I definitely love a good pair of jeans and a nice slender top, or even a boy's top, a man's top. I've got quite short hair at the moment. I'm definitely going for the androgynous look. I think having two boys and a husband has worn off on me. The house needed another boyish looking person. So definitely androgynous. I would say comfortable, which is not something that it's not a word that used to describe me, but it definitely is now, being a mum and running around and doing everything that I'm, you know, doing 70 hours of things each day.
It's definitely a mum word, comfortable.
Yeah. And then I would still say edgy. I do like to wear a pair of jeans and a top, but I'll funk it up with some cool hoop earrings and a bit of lipstick, or I'll wear some really cool edgy shoes to make it so it's not your standard mum uniform.
Yeah, cool. And what's your favourite thing to wear and why? So, like, how does it make you feel?
Jeans, for yep. sure. I've got so many different pairs of jeans. Sometimes I feel like they're my fallback and I get frustrated, but I always feel great in a pair of jeans. The more high-waisted, the better, after a natural birth and a C-section, to hold all the bits in. Not that I have a problem with the bits, but it just literally holds me together at the moment. I'm only 5 months postpartum from the second. And there's just nothing like having a pair of jeans and strutting down the street knowing that your ass looks great.
Yeah, they're a classic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, and like you just said, 5 months postpartum with the second baby, and I know that you had babies in quite quick succession as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about your body right now?
I'm proud of it. I'm proud of what it's done and what it's achieved and what it's created. It has taken me a few months to get used to having a body that has extra bits and scars after the C-section. I was always very slender, like a size 8, 6 foot tall, size 8, just without trying. And then I went off the pill after I got married and instantly put on 12 to kind of 15 kilos. The doctors think that the pill was kind of masking my polycystic ovaries for all those years, and I kind of just plopped out to the weight that I should have been, because I'd gone on the pill when I was 15 years old. So
yeah, your natural resting.
My natural
resting body weight.
Exactly, yeah.
And having known you that whole time,
A lot of you guys listening kind of know what I look like. Danny and I look very similar now. So we're both tall, we've both got curves, and we're probably about the same size. And
I have boobs for the first time.
Thank you, babies.
A cup to a C cup. It's incredible. But it's changed, and it changed, and it took a long time. And I definitely use negative words like fat and big and which are stupid because I was never any of those things and I'm not any of those things. And now I'm comfortable. Now I'm happy. Now I'm proud. I miss being able to fit into my old clothes, but I think that comes with missing my old life, missing who I used to be more than actually missing being that size.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we definitely associate certain clothes that we can fit into with certain times in our lives. And I often see that with my one-on-one clients is that the clothes that they're holding onto in their wardrobe that don't necessarily fit them anymore or suit their lifestyle are a throwback to a period in their life where they felt their best.
Exactly.
And I think inadvertently we're often associating clothes with different periods in our life.
And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. The clothes and the size with happiness when it's not. It's just that at that time I was sleeping more and I could walk out of the house when I wanted to without packing nappy bags.
The house.
And, yeah, and remembering the children.
Yeah. Less responsibility.
Exactly. So it was just freedom and happiness and, yeah.
Yeah. And do you, I guess as a result of that, do you feel like there is a link between how you feel about your body and how you dress?
100%. I know when I first had Harry, my first son, I again struggled with the kind of the extra size. I've always kind of had clothes that hung off me and not from like a super skinny way, but I just really like that look of the clothes kind of draping.
Like a coat hanger.
Yeah.
Like a model, like a fashion model.
But not the skinniness, just the way the clothes kind of fit. One thing I did the first summer is, you know, so I'd gone from a small up to a medium and I found the medium shorts were really big. So I just thought I'm just going to buy larges and extra larges. So that way I'm still getting that same kind of look that I like. And it's like t-shirts. I bought them one or two sizes too large. So they're still really boxy and they hang down over my shoulders in a really drapey way. So I just went up in sizes and stopped worrying about the sizes. I remember I used to get really upset about, oh no, now I'm a medium or a large. Like, who cares? I buy extra large or XX large so I can still get that boxy androgynous shape that I like. And I just focused on the style rather than the size.
100%. The size actually doesn't matter because exactly like you said, it actually comes down to how you like things to fit.
Yeah.
As opposed to actually, oh my gosh, I have to go to an XL. Like, well, you're choosing to go to an XL because you like the fit of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And once I kind of made that reconciled in my head, I stopped beating myself up about things.
Yeah. Which I think is really important.
Yeah.
Do you care about your personal style?
Oh, so much. You can tell the days that I feel good because I've got makeup on, my hair's zhuzhed, I've got shoes on, I've got earrings in, I've got all my rings on, I've got rings that go on every finger. And then the days where I go out of the house with jeans and a t-shirt chucked on with runners without a lot of effort, I feel like crap by mid-morning. Personal style is really important to me, and I dress my sons as well. I mean, they're too young to have their own personal style. They have my style at the moment, which hopefully rubs off onto them. But again, for them, when we all go out as a family and we're all dressed up, it's not so that other people go, wow, look, they have it all together. It's just so I can feel like put together and looking good.
Yeah. If you look good, you feel good.
Yeah. It's, and for me, clothes are fun.
Yeah.
I have short brown hair at the moment in a really, like, well, my hair's like 3 centimetres long. Like, it's very
Karen Walker.
It's very Karen Walker. Before that, I had like the Uma Thurman bob from
Pulp Fiction.
I've had purple hair. I've had blue hair. I've had green hair. I've had shaved on the side. I've had undercuts. I have a need for change, and because I'm in a long-term relationship and married with a mortgage and 2 children, I can't run away, and my husband's sick of me reorganizing the furniture in the house. So I change my hair constantly, and when I change my hair, I feel like I get to access a new part of my wardrobe because certain colors and things that I would wear with one hairstyle don't fit with another. So personal style is really important to me because I'm always changing up my personal style while sticking to those three keywords at the same time.
Yeah, cool. And do you feel like talking about like how your body has changed, you guys can probably hear little baby James gurgling in the background, mum life, as your body has changed since you came off the pill and since your size has gotten bigger, do you feel like there's certain things about how you dress that you've had to change, or do you feel like you've stuck true to how you used to dress previously, even though you're not wearing the same things? Like boobs. Like you didn't used to have boobs. Oh, now you have
the
boobs.
The boobs still do my head in. I just,
welcome,
I'm used to
my life.
Used to t-shirts just falling down flat, and now they pull, and they t-shirts and tops pull around the back, I notice as well, because they're getting caught like on my ribs, because my ribs are still, they're still expanded. They haven't gone back down completely, if they ever will, from carrying a 12-pound baby and a almost 9-pound baby. I feel like since having kids, I'm more attracted to florals and I'm more attracted to little elements of print, or maybe like a full maxi dress with a full floral print, which I never did until I was pregnant. I put it down to the crazy hormones.
Well, the femininity of it, right? And the femininity of being pregnant.
Yeah, it really affected me. I suddenly had a wardrobe full of dresses, which I'd never had before, and I still incorporate them in, but I'll do, you know, what you say to do, you know, wear a beautiful dress but chuck a pair of trainers on.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's been the biggest surprise change for me, but otherwise I've still stuck true to who I am.
Yeah, because often what I'm finding, again, with clients and even with myself, is your personal style is often a reflection of your body type because, yeah. You know, I'm quite an hourglass shape, I've got curves, and I tend to err on the side of feminine,
yeah,
because they're generally the clothes that look best on me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I guess, reconciling what you like aesthetically with actually what works on your body shape. And I
totally
think that's why people are struggling, because they're trying to emulate a look that they're seeing on someone with a completely different body shape.
Totally.
And then stressing that it doesn't work on them,
yeah,
but then beating themselves up for not having that body shape.
I found, like, especially back to all the jeans that I wear, you know, I wear a lot of the stovepipe jeans, and that's great. And I've got a pair of DeCuba jeans on at the moment that you actually gave me, because they weren't you. They're all ripped.
And now I'm kind of jealous. I'm kind of like crushing on them.
You're not having them back.
Yeah.
But I have these kind of come more than three quarters of the way down the legs. Or like just above, I think they'd be ankle on normal people, but because I'm 6 foot tall, they're 2 inches above my ankle. And these boxy jeans kind of, they just make it, but I have another pair of boxy jeans that now I'm a larger size. They really emphasize my hips and the size of my thighs and my butt, which I didn't used to have. And I donated them to charity because I was like, they're not bringing me joy.
Yeah.
They brought me joy for a time.
Yep.
I said thank you and I moved them on, and I've gone back to wearing the jeans that I feel are flattering. It's not about looking skinnier so that when I'm out people think I'm skinny or anything like that.
Or being on trend.
Just I feel like, yeah, the ones that taper in at the bottom because I'm now wider in the middle, they look better on me than completely rectangle looking jeans.
Yeah, totally. And what, now I know your 15-year-old self was in quite a life-changing position anyway, but looking back, what would you tell your 15-year-old self about body love, self-esteem and style?
I'd tell her to enjoy the lollies more and the McDonald's more. Like, she ate a lot of it, but like really savor it because as you get older, you can't run it off. I'd say to her, please enjoy yourself more. You love putting on a little butterfly top that ties around the neck and is backless, but really enjoy those moments. Enjoy the freedom of learning what your personal style is. I look back at some of the things I used to wear and I'm like, oh man, it's hopeless.
That's such a good way of saying it, of learning what your personal style is.
Yeah.
I think even as adults, we just expect to wake up one day and know.
Totally.
But
yeah,
it's a learning and it's an ever evolving thing.
Yeah.
And
I went through
okay to
a massive boho phase. I can still remember buying the cowboy boots in Sydney from an op shop. I called my mum. I was like, mummy, I can't afford these boots. I've fallen in love. They were like $60. So she transferred down money to me so I could go into the op shop and buy these cowboy boots that I'd fallen in love with.
Good on you, Ricky.
And, you know, I wore them way past the boho phase, but I loved them to death. And there's other elements of things that I wouldn't wear now, but I was learning about how to – I think those boots represented how to have a key piece of your wardrobe that is every day, that you can use it across different outfits. I wore it with dresses and skirts and pants and jeans, and I wore them out clubbing.
But also valuing them. Like, it sounds like that was a really good lesson in valuing something and actually appreciating how much it costs.
Yeah, I got it. I got them resold 2 times. That's how much I wore them down.
Yeah.
Rather than going out and getting new ones, I was like, I just love these so much. And then I only threw them out – well, not threw them out. I donated them only recently. I hadn't worn them in, I don't know, 8 years, and I just kept – they got carted around from London to New Zealand, and I finally said goodbye to them because I thought it's going to be a long time before my kids can wear them for dress up. they can be given to somebody else.
Fair enough, fair enough. And do you think that we as a society need to change the way we think about fashion and style and body image? And if so, what changes do you think need to be made?
100% we need to change. I beat myself up as a kid. I wish – there's something about turning 30 as a woman that's so empowering and so awesome, and you just don't give a shit anymore about other people's opinions. Becoming a mother as well at the same time for me, it's been such a transformative last 2 years, and I'm so powerful now, and I'm so comfortable in my power, and I wish that I could give that genuine confidence to
everybody
at 15 years old.
What I'm trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I want everybody to just feel
good
in the skin they're in. It's such a cliche, but it's my driving force for what I do every day.
It's amazing. And that, if we could get everybody feeling that would be amazing. We're so caught up in our own minds and worrying about what other people think of us. I don't look at my girlfriends and think, that top doesn't match that skirt. But there have been times where I have been paralyzed. I have not been able to leave the house. I've gotten dressed 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, changing my outfit in the morning because things don't match and I can't get out of the house. For what reason? You know, I've never looked at anybody else and criticized
them.
Yeah, and judge them on that doesn't match, or I just look at their face and I think, you're my friend and I love you, and what are we talking about today? What are we gossiping about?
Totally.
What's going on?
And often I'll say to my clients, what your bum looks like isn't your problem. You can't see it, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And also what anybody else thinks about your bum is their problem.
Yeah.
It's actually none of your business.
It's none of your business. Yeah, there's a – maybe it was you who said that to me years ago, saying what other people think about you is none of your business.
Totally. You can't change it.
You can't change it, so who cares? Just love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And get out of the house after the second or third outfit change.
Totally. What do you think that we should be doing more of as society? So we're seeing brands, I guess, be more body inclusive, and that kind of thing in their advertising. But – is that enough? Do we need to be doing more? Do we need to be having conversations with our sons and daughters? And I think we talk about having conversations with our daughters.
I think it's really important, yeah,
but sons and daughters. It's important as well.
Stigma comes up in life because people are filling in the blanks themselves, and they're filling in the blanks themselves with their quick thinking brain that is overwhelmed with information and colours and shapes and things that it's seeing, and it's processing 1,000 things at once.
And it's often their own insecurities that are coming up, making them judge others.
Exactly. And, you know, so you hear something, you don't quite get all the information, so you fill in the gaps yourself. And you're filling in the gaps with what your brain is trying to remember from past situations. And it's not true. It's not truth. Your brain isn't filling in truth with stigma. And when we don't educate young children, whatever gender, we're doing a disservice to those children because we're allowing them to fill in the blanks themselves with comments that they've heard from family members or things that they've seen on the TV, on TV shows that they've been watching, and that's not fair. We need to be educating the tamariki about shapes and style and getting them to play dress up in things, in our clothes, in mummy's clothes, in daddy's clothes, talking to them about how belts work and you can lift it up and, you know, like just involving them in dressing themselves and why mummy and daddy dress the way they do from a young age. So it's just a part of life. It's not that this is for one parent, this is for another parent.
And I also think not judging your kids for what they choose. Like, I know that my three-year-old is very much about choosing her own outfits. And I, you know, being a personal stylist, sometimes I'm like, really? That's what we're going with today? But it's her choice. And that's what I need to remind myself, is to let her make her choices.
It's an informed choice that she's making. She thinks it looks bloody fantastic.
Oh, and the other thing is she doesn't care. And I think that's the other
She either wants to be Elsa and say, look at me, I'm beautiful.
Totally.
Or she goes, I'm putting clothes on so I can get out and have fun.
Exactly. And I think that growing up, I was super lucky in that my mum, who was a physio, the focus wasn't on how we look. And I think that people get – they misunderstand what I do as well, in that I'm actually not about just what you look like. It's about giving you the tools to have confidence and get dressed easily and effortlessly and have fun with it so you can get on and do the more important things that you're doing in your day. And I think that I'm always reminding myself and other people, it's much more important to think about what your body can do and has done versus how it looks. Like, don't make how it looks the main thing that you're focusing on.
Exactly.
And I think that's where maybe some of that change needs to come. And so there's always going to be pictures of people, right? Particularly in fashion advertising and those kinds of things. But if we're focusing on the doing, and again, showing that different diversity in body shapes, in body types, in
skin color, in hair color.
And in traditional beauty, I think as well. I think that's where some of the sticking points still is that yes, we're using body diverse people, but they're still all what you would call traditionally beautiful.
Yeah.
So we need to just show the general public so people can relate and go, she looks like me, I can wear that dress.
I tell you who's doing a really good job of that for kids at the moment, Nature Baby. Bit random, but I'm loving Nature Baby. They have got such a diverse range of children coming through their advertising, and it's really great to see. Because
it's not just the blonde hair, blue-eyed, which is my daughter, but, you know, that's just how she was born.
Yeah.
But it's not just that kid anymore.
Exactly, yeah, that's really great to see. So hopefully those kids, you know, they grow up to and, you know, they keep doing modelling on the side of being physicists and astronauts and all those things that we don't put any pressure on our kids to be. And, you know, they can say, well, from a young age I was, you know, I was a model as a baby and this is what I look like. I'm just like everybody else.
Totally. And what do you think as individuals we can do to help facilitate changing the way that we look at body image?
You've really got to stop the self-flagellation. Is that the word? I always get that wrong. Beating yourself up, whipping yourself on the back.
Yeah. The negative talk.
The negative talk. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about some photos that we had had taken. She had some photos taken and I had some photos taken. And she was like, oh, I don't like them. I should have had my hair done that day. I should have had this done. I should have had that done. And I was like, nah, you look great. You look happy.
Look like
in
you.
Them. You just look like you. You know, you look happy. You're laughing in the photos. That's what's important. And she's like, yeah, you're right. But it is. It's so easy to look at them and go, oh, you know, in some of the photos I have, I don't know, 7 or 8 chins because my face is down.
Or laughing.
Yeah, or, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, like turning sideways. I don't have my shoulders sticking out in an angle and the photographer wasn't standing up high on a chair and so it makes my arm look flat and wide. But I'm sitting on the couch with a cup of tea and talking. That's what we need to be focusing on, the fact that I've got my Gilmore Girls mug and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm having a chat, not the fact that my arm looks a bit flat in one angle.
Totally. I think, like you said, it's changing those negative thoughts into positive thoughts. And again, one of the questions that I ask all my clients is to tell me 3 parts of their bodies that they're confident about, or the 3 best bits of their bodies, because women particularly can straight away tell me 10 bits of their bodies that they don't like and they focus on the negative, and that makes me so sad. Like, so I'm trying to get my clients and my readers to just refocus how they're thinking about their bodies, and when they're looking in the mirror, changing the perspective because that's so much of the journey to body love and to self-worth and to enjoying your personal style as well, because I feel like you're not going to enjoy your personal style if all you're doing is constantly criticizing your body.
100%.
So you have to be happy with where it's at. And that's also not to say don't change it, because you can absolutely change your body if you're not happy with it, but you have to embrace it along the way as
Totally.
And change that perspective. So focus on the good.
Yeah. I would say my three things are my hair. I can zhuzh my hair, not put on any makeup, just chuck on some clothes, and I still feel great. That's the thing about having really rocky, edgy, fun, interesting hairstyles. Makes the maintenance for the rest of it easy. So I'd say I love my hair. I've always loved my back, which is random because it just kind of sits there. It doesn't really do a lot. But I've always – I've got olive skin and I've got like
good skin.
Moles everywhere, and I like to think that they're like they're interesting to look at. And then my legs, man. I'm 6 foot tall. I love my legs. Yeah, you too.
How good is being tall?
It's so good.
Took me so long to embrace being tall. Like as a teenager, I used to slouch.
Yeah, slump over, and I did this thing where I kind of like leant back on my hip and bent over at the same time.
Yeah, you kind of tilt your hip to be shorter.
Yeah, and now, you know,
I love walking into a room and being the tallest person in the room.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm proud to put on a pair of high heels now. And I'll even wear platform heels. And I'm like, you make me 6 foot four.
I think. Totally. You know, just being, and again, being confident in yourself.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not about being better than anybody else or look at me, look at me. It's just about being confident in yourself.
I wonder as well, being in New Zealand, you know, tall poppy is such a big thing here. And I wonder if people, if women struggle, a part of women struggle in New Zealand and the need to kind of dress so casually is because they feel like they don't deserve it, or they feel like it's bringing them attention that they don't deserve.
Oh, 100%. So many of my clients dress to hide.
Yeah.
And dress to blend in, and they don't feel like they're actually showing their true personal style because they don't feel worthy of being able to do that. And that makes me so sad and so mad that we've got a society that makes women feel like that.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Nah.
Be yourself.
Totally. Start with those three things that you love, and then from there you can end up loving everything.
Two Aussies in New Zealand changing the way women feel about themselves one podcast at a time.
Boom. Hashtag something.
Hashtag Aussies in New Zealand.
Hashtag Aussies in New Zealand.
Awesome, Danny. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And tell people about what you've got coming up with the Period Place, because it's super exciting.
We have the industry's first period hooey that we have organised, which is fantastic. We have got some big plans for 2020. We're going to be doing more public events, bringing more period events like the markets that we did earlier in the year around the country. We want to do another massive industry event. I'm applying to go to
New York
with the government to the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women event in March to go and talk about periods and New Zealand and how amazing and inclusive the menstrual period industry is here and how everybody wants to make access equal for everybody who menstruates in New Zealand.
I think that's really important as well. And also like just destigmatizing periods and being able to talk to your partner about it, have your kids talk about it, and not make it like a blaming point when you're in a bad mood and all those kinds of things.
100%.
I think also what you're doing with the Period Place really, again, ties into that whole self-esteem and body image.
It completely
does. Self-love, being able to talk about the fact that you menstruate every month.
Yep.
And it's so much of who we are as women.
Yeah. And once you
how it affects us.
Have that under control, then you can move on to feeling great about yourself.
Totally. But it's like style. Once you have that under control, you can actually move on to doing the amazing great things that you're supposed to be doing with your life.
And you're going to have crap days. Not saying like, oh, once I learn how to dress myself, everything will be okay. But shit, it makes it 98% easier.
So much easier. Right. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Danny, for joining us. And we will talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Style Project with Caitlin Taylor, a podcast about body love, self-esteem, and personal style.